Hey, we are on the air today. We've got Ray Smith is actually not with us. And I've got Danielle Johnson and John Spurr here from Inspired Life Mortgage. So the first question of the hour is going to be, how much time are we going to spend talking about Ray and not real estate?
The entire hour.
Can I just say, you just followed it suit with the see you on the other side, and you said he is not with us. Sounds like he died. He's on the other side. We'll see him on the other side.
He's not enduring the same temperatures that we are right at this moment. So nobody feels sorry for him. He's had a little bit of a break in the weather. So we do miss him, but we will be here today with the three of us. And let's go ahead and get started. So how are things going, John?
It's great. I'm still staying busy, which I'm happy considering where rates are and just general mortgage news you hear with things slowing down. And it's been great. I think the encouraging thing was last 2 weeks ago, purchase applications increased 25%. So there was a pretty decent increase in applications across the country and means there's some more activity going on.
Good. We're seeing that people are still out shopping. I mentioned the heat. I hate to bring up the bad stuff, right? But it is hot out there. And people are still looking. We had a listing we talked about on the last show that was just coming on the market, and it is now under contract. And so it's still, real estate's still happening.
Oh, it is, and there's plenty of people looking. You were in my office today. I'm about 20 people deep looking for houses. You know, that it's the lack of inventory that we still have a challenge with.
Yeah, we do.
And houses are going quick. I mean, we said that one, you know, in less than a week is under contract.
Yes.
Things that we've had, all of our listings, they're going very quick. It is definitely a good time if you're thinking about selling. The heat, the interest rates, they are not stopping the market. We're still going.
They're slowing it a little bit, but they're definitely not stopping it. I would say it's a small little speed bump. It's not a big one. It's just, as long as your house is priced right and you're in the right condition, houses are still selling.
And a lot of people I'm talking to that are first-time home buyers interested in getting pre-qualified to buy a home, it's because their lease is coming due and they found out that their rent's going up $250, $500. I mean, I had one person whose rent's going up $1,000. That's a little ridiculous. But I'm talking to people that they're seeing their rent still going up $200 to $250. And, you know, if you can pay $1,800 to $2,000 in rent, we can probably get into a house without a problem.
Yeah, I think that we've seen in the news, you know, a lot of articles where it talks about investors coming in and actually improving the property so that they can turn around and raise the rents for the improvement on the property. And it's kind of a financing strategy as well, because they're able to refinance that property once it's been remodeled. But the consumer definitely is getting a little sticker shock when those new rent renewals are coming up.
I have a rental that's vacating at the end of the month, and we're going to go in, new carpet, new tile, new paint, remodel the bathrooms, and we're going to put it out there for higher rent. I mean, that's absolutely what is happening.
You want to tell anybody about the rental, or is it too soon?
It's too soon.
Too soon.
I don't need my phone ringing that much yet.
Well, so in a few weeks, we might have to give an update then on that rental property, because I happen to have seen the house, and it's a great place.
I'm pretty sure you guys sold me that house.
I wasn't going to say that, but I'm pretty sure we did.
Oh, I mean, we know it wasn't Ray that did it. It was definitely you.
That's true.
He's not here. We got to get the digs in, right?
We have to talk about him.
I thought we were going to get stories, and we haven't heard anything yet.
Like the one time he told everybody to spank the sponsors, that story?
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us about that, John. My thing is, when I wasn't here, I said, don't sing on the air. Please don't sing on the air. And what is the first thing he did when the music started? He started singing.
I love that man to death. He shouldn't just sing at all unless he's in the shower.
And even that's debatable. So what else is making your phone ring?
Cash out refinances.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
I have been saying for a while to my staff and people that know me that I'm confident that this is going to happen. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. And you have credit card rates that have hit 20%+. I've seen some people at 25, 26% on credit cards. I have one gal that I'm working with that has $30,000 in credit card debt on one card, and it's because she was off work for 7 months during COVID. Mm. Well, when that rate was 8%, it was manageable for her.
Right.
That payment's $925 a month now. And we're taking the money out of her house, and yes, she has a nice little 3.75% rate on the first, but we are taking money out of the house and paying off that credit card, and her mortgage payment's going up $200 a month. But she's getting rid of a $900 a month credit card payment that's probably going to be around for a couple of years. The Fed is not going to lower rates anytime soon. And the Fed controls short-term rates, and credit cards are short-term rates. And if they're not lowering that, these credit cards are going to be in the high teens, low 20s for a while. And as attractive as that low interest rate was on her mortgage, you know, living on beanie weenies and top ramen and having to change her lifestyle because her credit card payment now is $900 a month just didn't make sense. It just, the equity was there and use it. Closed end seconds. HELOCs were kind of all the rage. Now the rates on those have gotten so high with the Fed continuing to raise rates that they're not really attractive. But closed end seconds are something else that we're doing a lot of. And that's just a fancy way of saying a fixed rate, fixed term, fixed payment loan where you don't have to touch your first mortgage. I'm doing a loan for a gal that has $50,000 worth of unsecured debt. Her monthly payments on that is almost $1,800 a month. And the closed-end second we're doing for her on a 20-year drops the payment to $351. She's $1,700 to the positive, and she's going to be able to go back and live her life the way she was living it before rates went through the roof.
Wow, that's significant.
So I mean, last month, I think we did 10 purchase transactions and 2 cash outs. Mm-hmm. This month, we're looking at 8 cash outs and 1 purchase transaction. So it's just been overnight, there was a huge shift in people looking at how do I deal with this debt load that's come on with not working during COVID and coming up with ways to pay the bills, interest rates going up on unsecured debt. I think it's finally starting to weigh on people and they need to come up with a solution.
And I think we've mentioned before, but by the time that you are in trouble because those rates have gone up and the payments have gone up, if you start missing payments, then you're going to have a hard time qualifying for a loan to be able to do something like what you're talking about now.
I had a gentleman miss a $30 payment on a department store card, and his credit score went from low 700s to low 600s. And we weren't able to do the transaction on a $30 payment. So don't get to a point where you're not going to be able to make payments. We got to, you know, get on top of it now before you are going to miss a payment. Because once that credit score drops, a lot of the options go out the window. And we start doing what I call a Band-Aid for a shotgun wound. And it ends up being 2 or 3 transactions in a year to clean up the process.
Wow. We have talked about doing credit repair and the fact that you can do that and you can help people with that, but you're way ahead of the game just to stop it before the bleed starts.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason to not take a look at it now and come up with a game plan as opposed to wait until it's too late. Because once that credit score goes down, it's really difficult to get it back up, and it takes a while to do it.
Yeah, okay, so we are going to go to the break, and we will be right back with John Spurr from Inspired Life Mortgage.
Doesn't that sound nice, having my name in it? I just have to say, it's kind of cool. It says Danielle in there.
I love having your name in there.
It took us a while
second week having it there, but it's kind of fun.
I know it's a lot to edit that thing. We should have been able to remove Ray's name for just a show. Just for the one day, yes.
We could have called it Johnson & Johnson instead of...
I think that name might be taken, though.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that one's trademarked.
I think you're right.
So before the break, we were talking about credit card debt and some of the difficulties that come in when the rates go up and your credit card debt all of a sudden starts becoming unmanageable. And we want to make sure that we're managing it before we start missing payments so that we have options. So talking about those options, John, you mentioned a closed end second. What would that be?
Yeah, so a closed end second is... it's really like the first mortgage that you already have. It's a fixed time frame. Most first mortgages are 30 years. It's a fixed interest rate. The rate doesn't move. And then your principal and interest payment is fixed. So a closed-end second is the same concept, only it's in second lien position. So the whole lien position in itself is a little confusing, but the easiest way to explain is if for some reason you were to lose your house and the banks sell the house, the bank in first lien position gets to claim whatever money they got off of the house, and anything that's left goes to anybody in the second position. For you as a borrower, it doesn't really matter, first lien, second lien. It really depends on, really what matters is, can we get the money that you need to pay off the debt? Can we lower your monthly payment? But a closed-end second is just like a first mortgage, but it's in second lien position. So it's fixed rate, fixed term, fixed dollar amount.
So I assume being in second position, we're also talking a little higher risk. And so your interest rate probably is going to be a little bit higher.
Absolutely. So second lien position, there's additional risk to the lender. And so they do look for a slightly higher interest rate, but it's not horrible. It's going to be somewhere from 1.5% to 3% more than a first mortgage. And that's going to depend on your loan to value. How much money are you borrowing against the value of the house, your credit score? There's all sorts of factors that go into that.
And those are all basically risks as well that they're assessing.
And you've heard me say before, we don't lend money, we assess risk. That's all, in the mortgage world, that's all we're doing is assessing the risk. What is the likelihood of you repaying? And then those risk factors determine how much money you can borrow and what your interest rate is going to be and what terms you can have.
And even with that slightly higher interest rate, it's a lot better than credit card interest rates. You're still way ahead of the game.
Yeah, I've been seeing credit card rates anywhere from, I mean, I've seen some people that have 10% rates. I don't know how they've done it. Good for them. But I've been seeing 19 to as high as 24%, 25%. You're talking rates of 8.25% to 9.75% on a fixed second. It's significantly better.
I would never think that borrowing money against your house is a great way to live your life. But it is, or using your house as a bank account, but it is a solution to a very big problem that could spiral your life out of control where you lose everything.
Absolutely. Anytime I talk to somebody that wants to take cash out of their house to pay off debt, we look at the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Is there, if you stop going to Starbucks twice a day for the next year and a half, can you pay your credit card off? Are there things that we can do in changing your lifestyle to where you don't have to do this? Or has that credit card payment gotten so large and so out of control that what makes the most sense and is going to get you back on track is to use that equity that's in your house? I never want to take somebody out of a 3% or 4% first mortgage, mm-hmm. unless that is the only option. And so we do look at all the options that are out there, but I am seeing a lot of people that are electing to give up their low rate on their first because, again, of what we've been through the last couple of years with, you know, people being out of work, living mm-hmm. off of credit cards, rates going up. All of this has created a unique situation where maybe taking that $30,000, $40,000 out of your house and going to a higher rate than you currently have is the best option.
Yeah, when we talked before about HELOCs, the interest rate on a HELOC is going to move with the market as well. So you might lock into a rate that you like or that you can live with, but then what happens when that HELOC goes up? And that's what's happened to a lot of people as well, is those HELOCs are getting higher. So I like the closed-end option so that you can, I hate to say the word budget, but so that you're able to know that you can manage that payment and you don't have to worry about it going up like the credit card rate went up.
Yeah, and as the Fed increases rates, our lending practices change to meet whatever the current environment is. And, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago, home equity line of credits made sense. Mm-hmm. Now that rates have gone up, they may not be the best tool in the toolbox for the particular situation. A fixed rate second is probably the best option.
Are there minimums to getting that second?
Most places are going to be $40,000 to $50,000. I have a couple banks I work with that it would be a $25,000 minimum. I have some banks I work with that'll do credit scores as low as 660. 700 is kind of the sweet spot. You most cases can't borrow more than 90% of the value of your home. Some of the better priced or better rate product out there is going to be, you know, 80% of the value of the home. But there are some restrictions, but I can figure those out for you relatively quick in a quick a phone call.
And you actually do go over all the options. You're not looking at one product that you want to sell and therefore you're going to steer everybody to that one product. You're looking at the overall big picture, what their financial goals are, and you match that to the products that you have available.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately for me, I'm not looking to get one transaction done. I'm looking to be your lender for life. If you do a refinance today on a closed-end second with me, 4 or 5 years down the road, you're going to want to refinance together. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell that, buy another house. I want to be the person that you turn to. And so I'm always looking at what's in their best interest as opposed to just getting a transaction done.
And what kind of, are buyers or homeowners looking at having to have an appraisal done, the same kinds of fees that apply during the initial mortgage process, or are things a little bit different with this?
The fees aren't as much. A lot of times we're using an automated appraisal system. So it's only a couple $100 for the appraisal.
Okay.
If you've had title work done in the last couple of years, the title fees are reduced. As far as junk fees like underwriting, closing, doc prep, those type of things, those don't exist. There's going to be a credit report fee. But in the most part, maybe $400 or $500. If we have to get a full appraisal, maybe $1,000. But it's significantly less than if you were doing a refinance or a purchase where you're looking at $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 worth of closing costs.
Yeah, on that initial purchase, you've got taxes, insurance, all kinds of things that are already covered with your mortgage. So I can see where the fees should be a little bit better on the closed end.
And this is something that if you own your home, you have this as an option.
Right.
If you're renting today and you get in this credit card debt where you can't pay your bills, you don't have that same option because you haven't invested in something that is holding equity for you. So again, if you're renting right now, this is something that you're doing to buy into your future so that when something does happen down the road, you have options and you're not up against the wall.
And you've heard me say it before, you know, the equity in your home is kind of a savings account that you can't get to unless you refinance or you have a home equity line of credit or you do a closed-end second. But when you get into a situation like this with, you know, high rate credit card debt, it's great to have that piggy bank there that you absolutely would not have if you were renting because you're not building equity in a property that's yours.
Yeah, and if people have been in their property probably 2 years or more, they're probably going to have a certain amount of equity, and it will depend on how much down payment they had when they bought. But I definitely think this is something worth giving you a call. What number can they reach at?
Call me on my cell phone at 520-247-3610.
All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to the show. Danielle and I are here with John Spurr from Inspired Life Mortgage. We've been talking a little bit about credit card debt and how interest rates have gone up. Enough of the credit. Let's talk about buying versus renting.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite topics.
It's one of all of our favorite topics, actually.
The only way I make money is that people buy homes. So,
you know, we at least have the sell too. But yeah, no, if we didn't believe in real estate and owning real estate, we would not be doing what we do.
I agree. It's as you pointed out, if you're renting, you don't have that safety net, that equity in a house that you could use. Even as crazy as it sounds, worst case scenario, you sell the house, right?
Right.
You sell the house, you have that cash, you pay everything off, and you start over. Mm-hmm. You just don't have that little extra safety net when you're renting. It just isn't there.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that as well. You know, if you've bought in the last 2, and even better if you bought in the last 5 years, and you have had these gains where we were getting 20% or 25% in a year, then you probably do have a nest egg, and it's better to sell and give yourself that financial cushion and start over. You can always buy again as long as you've got the income and you've got your credit intact. Starting over is an option that absolutely might make the most financial sense.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the credit end of it. It's protecting the credit. Because it's you can make your credit score go down really fast. It takes a lot of work to bring that credit score back up.
You know, I'll use myself as an example. I had a a home that was a larger home, and I left the country for a few years. So I went and I kept it as a rental. And when I came home, my situation in life had changed, and I was in a place where it made more sense for me to be in a smaller place than what I had at the time and to be spending a little bit less money. And so I was able to sell it and then get myself into a smaller place that wasn't 100% ideal. It wasn't my perfect dream home, but I knew that by getting into that home, I was in a place where I could manage my budget, I could manage my finances a lot easier, and I was in a place where I was still building equity. So it made sense to make a move that, you know, it doesn't have to be your forever home. Sometimes it still is just getting into something where you can build up some equity, you can get yourself, you know, stable for a little bit, and then later on down the road, you're in a really good position. Whereas if you choose to rent during that time, what have you really gained? You might have a little bit more money in the bank account, but you might not.
Yeah, and I mean, I've owned a home since I was 18 years old. I bought my first house when I was 18, and I bought a very small house and took that equity and moved it into another property 5 years later, and I kept doing that. And I feel like I'm in a very nice home in a nice area, and I've got 7 years left on that mortgage, and my mortgage payment isn't that ridiculous. I mean, you know, before I'm 60, my house is going to be paid off, but it was that equity over the years that I sold and used as a down payment on the next house that got us to where we're at. And I think that concept might be a little lost these days because we were in such a low interest rate environment for such a long time that you could graduate college and go buy that giant house. And that just isn't really a normal market.
It was definitely not a normal market. And I had people that were able to buy and sell within 6 months, not because they were looking to make money, but life changed and they made money just because they happened to buy at the right time. And I do think you need to be a little bit more cautious now if you're looking at something as a short term. You want to make sure that you feel like you have enough equity in there that you would be able to sell in 12 to 24 months. But yeah, it's been pretty unrealistic for a while. But we do think rates are going to maybe flat, or the house price may flatten a little bit, but still continue to go up. There's no indications in Tucson with our lack of inventory, the demand that we have, that house prices are going to be taking big declines. We're just not seeing that.
No, and I agree with you. I think Tucson's isolated. A lot of the new, I think a lot of people forget that what we see in the news media is a national average or a national idea of what's going on. Even with interest rates, you know, the national average was 7.25%. And I'm not anywhere near that for rates here or with me. And Tucson's unique in where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how many homes are on the market right now. I'm sure it's not anywhere near what's out there looking, because I have a board full of people that can't find a house right now.
Right. Well, you had mentioned a property to us, and I'll just be clear, it's not a listing that we have, but you were going to kind of crunch some numbers on a one-bedroom, one-bath that had recently came on the market, and you were doing some calculations there.
And again, this was always one of my fun ones, and I have a bunch of searches out there just because I look for properties for myself, but it's a just over 700-square-foot condo inside a Skyline. And it's a one-bedroom, one-bath, and it was updated in the last 5 years. It's for sale for $165,000. It qualifies for the 1% down program that we have, so you need $1,650 of your own money to get into the property. On that program, with your taxes and insurance included, you're looking at a $1,380 a month payment. So if you're renting a one-bedroom, one-bathroom, small apartment for $1,200 to $1,400, why wouldn't you buy a condo in Skyline mm-hmm. with all the benefits that come along with living in Skyline for $1,400 a month? And I always like using these examples of, a lot of people think when they go from an apartment, they need to go to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a backyard or sign a new lease. Well, if your options are this house or sign a new lease and you're willing to stay in that apartment, why not move to a condo in a really nice area and start building equity? And maybe you keep that house, maybe you sell it in a couple of years and use that equity to roll up. I have this conversation a lot with people. I don't understand the disconnect from, I'm willing to stay in this one-bedroom apartment if I have to, but I really want this 3-bedroom house over here, and it's just themselves. Let's do a stepping stone.
Right. I remember I had clients with 2 daughters, and they said, we have to have a 3-bedroom. And I said, you know, I grew up sharing a room with my sister, and I wasn't really harmed by it. I think I came out okay. And sometimes we can't start with everybody gets their own room. And they ended up buying a 2-bedroom, 2-bath and had great equity when they left and were able to move on to the next step within a fairly short amount of time, just a couple of years. So you got to keep your options open and not get so focused on that dream home that you're willing to give up something good because you're looking for something great. So,
yeah, I mean, it's making a small sacrifice today so that you can build that equity and eventually get into that dream home further on in life.
Yeah. All right. We will be back in just a few minutes after the break. Hey, we are back. We are missing Raymond. Can we be honest here? We're missing Raymond.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's as much as it is nice sitting across from you, sitting across from him and his antics and how he behaves, just, it makes me laugh. I feel like I'm not as monotone when he's sitting across from me and I have to laugh at the things that he does. So, yes Raymond, if you're listening, we missed you for the show just a little bit.
Just a little
just
bit,
a
yeah.
Tiny bit.
We're not going to change the name. We're going to keep your name in. You don't have to worry. Just come back.
Well, we just wanted to mention that if you are looking to buy or sell your home, Danielle, Ray, and I would be happy to help with the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty. And we'll give our numbers at the end of the show, but we're here to help you. We're here to help you just walk through that process too and determine if you have enough equity to make your financial goals.
You know, and sometimes when the question comes up of what to do, sometimes you feel like you have to Google things on the internet because you can't call someone and ask, but it's okay to call and ask those questions. Whether you're someone who's renting or whether you own a home, whether you just have a random question and you just need some guidance, we can answer those questions. And if we can't, we can point you to someone who can, because we're here to help. We want people to be aware of their options, opportunities, and to be able to really make the most of that.
And not to throw Google under the bus, but Google has no way of determining the person that's putting stuff on the internet is actually an expert. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this for 31 years. I know I'm a mortgage expert, and I love getting on the phone and answering questions and educating. So I would rather somebody text me or call me, and we just start a conversation, and you know, we're going to figure out the process and come up with a plan. You can go down a lot of rabbit holes searching the word mortgage on the internet, and there's a lot of not great information out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder sometimes when we look at all of the AI that everyone's using and how you can create articles and have them write them for you, and it's like, I hope my doctor never does that. I hope my doctor doesn't start going to AI and going, okay, what can we do with this girl here? What should I recommend next? You know,
well,
it's nice to have a real person.
People don't always read through those. You know, they just say, hey, write me something, and then they post it.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you're finding.
Yeah. Well, we do have an industry expert here who's been doing this for a long time, and Danielle, Raymond, and I trust our clients in your care, John. I mean, we really do. We know they're going to get excellent service. We know they're going to get fair pricing, and that you're going to look at all the options for them.
I'm a little blunt sometimes, but I don't believe in sugarcoating. I just like letting people know where they're at and getting it done. But I enjoy taking care of your clients, and I enjoy taking care of all of my clients. It's an education process for me. I don't tell people what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. These are the options. This is where you're at. If you pay down this credit card, your score will go up this much, and this is where it'll be at, and you know, and go come up with a plan that helps them buy the house that they, you know, can afford at the time.
And you make a good point. I'm going to go back to that, you know, paying down a card to bump your score. That's not always the right answer. The one that you think is the right answer is not always going to be the best result. And that's why you need to call John, because you really have seen, I'm sure, thousands of credit scores and worked with thousands of clients and helped them through that process.
What's scary is that it, just as I think I've seen everything that I can possibly come up with, something crazy comes out of the woodwork and I, again, have to think up a new solution. And I mean, that recently happened in the last couple months. And but the good thing is, with all of the years of experience and background and all the contacts that I have, if something comes up that I'm not sure what to do with, I have resources, people to call, people to send emails to, hey, have you seen this before? Have you dealt with this? What's the best way to deal with it? And that's, I think, where experience really comes into play in a situation like this, is having all of those resources available to me.
I had a client that I recently sent to John who felt like there was absolutely no option. Like they were up against a wall. And after meeting with John, we're able to come back and say, okay, I got four options and I have information on all four options. And now I can make the decision to move forward in one of these four. And I think that that's where the real power is when you know what your options are and you can make an informed decision, then you can go out and do what's going to be best for you in the end. If you're just trying to come up with what Google says, you might find one, but that doesn't mean it's your best option.
I mean, if I need brain surgery, I'm not searching Google on brain surgery and going to get a drill and doing it myself. just as an example, but I know which client you're talking about. And what's really great about that is, I mean, it was a 30-minute conversation and about 2 hours worth of work on my end. And within, you know, another day, we had solutions that made sense.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I will say that I know that the client, she is feeling so much better at this point, just knowing the options and knowing that it's going to be okay and that everything is going to get worked out and that there's power in the choice.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, the unknown is what's scary. And that's the other thing. I don't care if it's good news, bad news, or indifferent. I'm going to deliver whatever the news is, because once we know, then we can come up with a plan and fix it. In my office, I tell all the staff, I go, we don't have problems, we only have solutions. So don't come to me and tell me you have a problem. Come to me and say, I have a solution for this situation. What do you think? And that's how we function. I don't believe in problems. I believe in coming up with solutions.
You know, another thing that I'm seeing a lot of, especially on Facebook in moms groups, you know, talking about what's available right now for rent. I'm currently paying $1,800 a month in rent. I've got, you know, a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom, whatever it is. I can't stay here because there are these long lists of problems. This is not working for my family. I have to get out. Do you know what's available? And the options for renting are not that great. I mean, again, the rental prices are high. So if someone is sitting there in about an $1,800 a month payment, what can they do in terms of getting financed and getting a mortgage and owning their own home?
So it's a loaded question, as you know, because the type of property, is it manufactured or a condo or a house? And how much do you have for down payment? And are we doing FHA or conventional? But you're going to be in a range from $250,000 to $300,000. You know, on the $300,000 end, you're going to need 10% down and you're going to need to have, you know, good credit, 700 scores or better. If you're down in the 250 range, it's probably going to be the 1% down program with it, that we have with the grant funds. And you're probably going to be looking at something that doesn't have a large HOA payment, so on and so forth.
Yeah, those HOA payments actually have to be calculated into your expenses. So even though your house payment may be, I'll just throw $1,000 out there, if there's a $200 HOA payment, that's going to be calculated as well.
Yeah, but I deal with a lot of people that want their payment in that $1,800 to $2,000 range. That's probably been 90% of who I've dealt with this year as far as the common buyer. And there's plenty of properties out there. There's nice properties. I've done a lot of these transactions, and that 250 to 300 seems to be where we're at for that.
Well, and that, you know, we just had that townhome that was under 250, and you know, there are things that are available. That was a 3-bed, 2-bath. If you're in a 3-bed, 2-bath apartment, it's, you know, it's going to be similar. It's not like you're going from 3-bed to 1, you know, there are lots of options. And even if you did go from a 3 to a 2, you know, it's something to consider. You're investing in your future. This isn't your forever home, but it can be something that can really push you further in life in the next few years.
And one of the things I talk to people that are renting, and they're like, oh, I can't afford to buy. Well, most places that you rent from require three or four times the rent mm-hmm. for income. We're going to need probably 2.5 times, maybe 3, when you're looking at it from a mortgage qualifying standpoint. You're looking at first and last month's rent most of the time in some sort of security deposit. And we all have pets and they love to charge a $500 deposit for pet. So you have somewhere around $3,600 to $5,000 you have to come up with to rent a house. And you start adding this all up, and it's the same as if you go and buy a house. If you have the $4,000 or $5,000 for your first and last month's rent and your security deposit and your pet deposit, and you have the credit score to rent this place, and you have 3 to 4 times the monthly income of the rent, you just qualified for a house. All you were doing was qualifying to rent a place. And I don't mean to make it that simple, but it really is that simple.
Well, and sometimes there are qualifiers that can make it harder to rent an apartment than it is to actually buy a home. There are certain things that are just different. And so that's something to really keep in mind, too. Sometimes when you're unsure, the best thing to do is just to ask the questions and see what you can do.
I tell you, for two of my daughters, it was just easier for myself and them to go out and help them buy a house. Renting an apartment was such a hassle.
Right.
It was easier for us to just, all right, we're going to go buy a house for you. And while they were still going to school and still in college.
John, tell everybody how to get a hold of you again.
They can reach me on my cell phone at 520-247-3610, or they can go to our website at inspiredlifemortgage.com.
And we have other sponsors that have helped us bring the show to you each week. Of course, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, Indy Realty, Solar Power. If you're thinking about solar, we've had Yamina on the show a couple of times, and she's got some great options. They can even wrap in the cost of a roof onto that loan. And who am I forgetting? Pioneer Title. Pioneer Title was here talking about fraud. Another great company. And we just appreciate their continued support. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Danielle, Ray, and I would be happy to help you. You can reach Danielle at 520-373-6864, myself at 520-850-1725, or the infamous Raymond Smith, 520-904-7711.
And remember, we do free home valuation. So if you'd like one, just give us a call and we'll hook you up.
You can also reach us at johnsonsmith@indie-realty.com. We'll see you next week.